Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our orgasms to our relationships to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 65 of the O Woman Podcast. And today I want to talk about the skin you're in. Loving your epidermis. You're going to have it forever. It's going to be yours. It will change over time. But giving yourself the love you deserve for how fantastic your external body actually is. And I'm not just talking about the skin you're in, meaning your body, but I mean actually the skin you're in. I want to talk today about what your skin does, why it's important, and why we need to be okay with the imperfections of it, because it's a working powerhouse of an organ and it needs to be respected even if it doesn't look perfect to you. So before I get started talking today about what your skin actually does, how it works, why it is so fantastic, I want to just briefly kind of touch on all the issues that women have with their skin. There's so many issues with women's skin. Not actually real issues, but women believe like, oh, my skin is too light, too dark, too veiny, you can see the veins underneath the skin, too bumpy, too hairy, too blemished and imperfect, too stretchy, too saggy, too wrinkly, too, I don't know, let's see, itchy, too dry, too greasy, too everything. It's, I mean, how can you be too all of those things? And it's just our perception of our skin. Our skin really is what it's supposed to be. And if it's not what it's supposed to be, actually, then it's giving us a sign. It's saying, hello, something is wrong with your body, something is unhealthy, or something needs to be given a booster, something needs to be updated inside. Here's your information, and the skin does that. It's like a really great printer almost for what's going on inside of your body. It's all of the information that's going on, not all, but a lot shows up on your skin. But so many women have problems with their skin. They feel like it's too this or too that. And society has problems with women's skin. Women in general are supposed to be perfectly skinned. They can't have any blemishes. They can't have any wrinkles. And if they have wrinkles, they have to be in tasteful locations and you have to be at least 70 years old. They can't be saggy. Your skin can't be saggy in any place. After you have a baby, the world imagines that your stomach isn't saggy at all. It goes right back to its normal shape. You can't have scars on it. You can't have any of those things, which is the roadmap of your life. It's who you are. It shows where you've been, which is what's so beautiful and fantastic about it. But the society at large doesn't really go for that. It doesn't really believe in that. And if you think about it and you talk to other women, you realize so many women know that skin is the way it's supposed to be, that you're really okay with your body, but still we have this larger pressure that we can't put our finger on exactly why it is that way or why we still feel bothered by it, but we do. And so I wanted to kind of bring up a little bit today, like I said, about what our skin actually does and the science of it. Because I feel like for me, when I get a scientific description of how a certain body part works, I really gain an extra respect for it. Because you know what certain things are and what they do, but you don't know all the intricate details behind the complicated systems that our bodies are. Like if you've listened to the podcast that I've done on the vagina and the clitoris and the cervix, you knew some of that information, but you didn't know like exactly all that goes on in there. It's a whole nother universe almost of your body that works without you knowing and works well and lets you carry on with your day worrying about if this and that looks good enough. But the only reason you worry about if this and that looks good enough is because the rest of your body is doing its job. And your skin is one of your body parts that it's huge, and it's also something where you can really see the fruits of its labor, so to speak, like how your body's working written on your skin. So let's talk about what skin actually does. There's so many uses for skin. Your skin doesn't just do one thing for your body. It does a bazillion things. One of them is it is a barrier to the outside world. If we didn't have skin, our muscles and all of our cells on the inside of our bodies, our muscles, our bones, our ligaments, all of the gooey schmersh, our blood that's underneath us would just be out exposed into the outside world, which is horrible because you think of the first thing you think of is you think of, I would get an infection. I would die. Yeah, you would if you didn't have skin. That's why burns are such a big thing, because they heal. They're hard to heal. Like, you know, really, really big burns anyway. They're hard to heal. And it's, your skin is such an important organ and such an important barrier to the outside world that if they don't heal correctly or they take a long time to heal, a lot of stuff enters into that spot, like a really deep cut or a really deep gash. That's really the first thing that the skin is it blocks out the crazy environment beyond. So it keeps the sun from roasting us alive, from boiling all the liquid inside of our skin. It keeps our temperature regulated. It keeps us from freezing when we step outside for a moment. If we didn't have skin and we stepped outside, if it was below freezing, our internal, you know, goos would just freeze on the surface. You think about it without skin, it's just completely illogical, at least in your mind. It would be impossible for me to have no skin, of course, because we're so used to it. But rarely do we think about how well it does its job. Even when it's dry, even when it's scaly, even when it's cracking, even when it's to this or to that, it's still doing its job for you. So all hail skin. So it's there, and it blocks different things from the outside world, just regular element things. It blocks the wind, it blocks the sun. But it also, like I said, keeps out pathogens and infection. It also regulates water loss, which is a really big thing with your body because you're made up of so much water. And if you can tell by my voice right now, I mentioned this on one of the previous episodes, I'm still so dehydrated. I keep drinking water and I keep drinking water and I go pee like every 20 minutes, but it's just 'tis the season to be dehydrated. My skin on my hands is starting to crack a little bit. And it happens to me this time of year often. It's just so dry out. And I mean, I'm imagining what would I be doing or how would I feel if I didn't have my skin there to take care of me, to kind of take the brunt of all the problems that winter can bring to a body. So since your skin regulates water loss, your skin being dry is the best sign that you are dehydrated, really, when you think about it. Just like your lips being chapped, it's a really good sign that you're dehydrated. Now, in some cases, your skin can get dry if you're not that dehydrated, just because of really cold wind or really dry wind or different things like that. But if you think about how skin is the barrier to the inside of your body that regulates almost all of your water loss, except through breathing and crying, things like that, then you're going to look at it as a warning sign. So you're going to think, okay, my skin's job is to regulate my body and make sure that the inside is properly hydrated. So when it's starting to get dry and crack, I know that the inside of me is not doing what it's supposed to be doing because it doesn't have enough water. So you need more water. You need more hydration. Like I do right now. I'm going to have to keep taking breaks to drink some water because I really need water. Another cool thing about the skin that helps it fight off, you know, pathogens and infection is that the surface of the skin has a pretty acidic pH. And we know from previous episodes where we talked about acidity, and things like that, how the vagina is pretty acidic, so that's really beneficial for it. It fights off other pathogens and other problems in there. The skin being pretty acidic helps, you know, keep cuts clean, helps keep your body clean, because pathogens can enter your skin just through your skin, and not a cut, you know, different ones. So just having that extra layer of acidicness to your skin is going to really be beneficial to your body. Another cool thing about the skin, which I didn't know until recently, is that your entire skin, like all of it on your body, replaces itself every 48 days. So that's like every month and a half. Every month and a half, you literally have a new skin. And I just didn't know that. I think that's really interesting because I know that there can be issues with skin. You can have moles that can potentially be cancerous and you want to go get them checked out, or you can get sunburned and that's not really good for your skin. But considering how often your skin rejuvenates itself, I'm just so impressed by how often it rejuvenates itself, meaning makes new skin cells that are pretty much always healthy. If it's remaking itself every month and a half, and rarely are you going to have a skin problem that's actually cancerous, that shows how well your body is doing, what kind of a great job your body is doing replicating itself without any weird, funky mutations, which is what a cancer can be when it's skin cells, you know, recreating themselves, replicating. And how the body does this, how the body replaces the cells, is a really cool thing. It's not that on the surface the cells just die and they get, you know, taken away and then the new cells just pop up there. So, of course, these external cells, the most outermost layer of your skin, they die and they just kind of slough off, you know, over time. It makes sense. It's a much less extreme way for us to lose our skin, like, than a snake or something like that. But what happens is the cells that are now going to be the surface skin cells kind of travel up from the bottom of your skin, the underneath layer, and they kind of rise to the surface, almost like bubbles, but of course over a much slower period of time. So if you think about it, your skin is almost bubbling with life as the cells that are going to be the new cells rise up and replace the ones that have been damaged or just have died. It's not time for them to be around anymore. So that's a really cool image when you think about your body doing that. Another interesting thing to think about in just holistic health and your whole body being healthy about the skin is that psychological stress in your body actually causes an increase in certain steroid hormones that have been proven to be bad for that outer layer of your skin. So if they're bad for that outer layer of your skin, it's going to lower the barrier effect that your skin has, and it's going to make you more susceptible to getting sick. So we all know, being stressed, being consistently stressed can make you sick. Now there's real scientific way to explain it. Now you can actually explain it to someone when they're like, yeah, I'm stressed. You know, I can see how that would make me sick. But now you can actually say, no, it literally weakens the barrier of your skin. It weakens your skin and it lets more crap in your body. And that makes you think, okay, well, I really want to keep my skin healthy. I know how to do it. Try to cut back on stress whenever you can to keep your body and your skin functioning properly. Another thing that women have, you know, consistently discussed over history, throughout history, and it's been part of the beauty standard that's fluctuated and changed over time, is skin color. And throughout some decades, women have been more attractive when they're darker skinned. Still, the beauty standard in our country has never been the most ideal beauty standard has been a black woman or an Asian woman or anything like that. It's always been the standard is a white woman, which shouldn't be the standard because we're not all white. I'm white and I would love to see beautiful white role models, but I would just as much love to see beautiful black and women of color role models because it doesn't make me feel like I'm less beautiful. It's my skin. I love my skin, but I want to see other women feeling like their skin is beautiful because there's so much variation in the world, so much variation in height and weight and skin color and tendency to do this and just so many different things that variety is beautiful. And skin color is beautiful. When you see women of different skin colors standing together, it's a beautiful, beautiful palette of colors. And it's unfortunate that there can't be a beauty standard of darker colored women, that there hasn't been yet. I think there will be eventually, but it's going to come and it's going to go just like all the other trends of beauty. So when you think about skin color trends, this would be through white women through the past decades. In the past few decades, it's been more popular for someone to be tanner, so darker skinned. But not too tan, because then you look too, you know, like a woman of color. So it's this weird middle ground that is supposed to be beautiful, even though all skin colors are equally beautiful. Being tanned is better because somehow it denotes that you're more healthy. And many, many decades ago, being pale was more beautiful because it proved that you weren't outside working in the sun. It proved that you were actually the upper class who got to be inside and didn't have to be tan because of being in the sun. That used to be a lower class thing, to be tan and to be darker. So it's interesting how that has changed over time, just like a woman's weight and a woman's body shape and what is actually ideal, you know, or socially beautiful at the time. But skin color is given to you genetically, and then it can change a little bit based on your exposure to the sun or different factors, but generally it's your exposure to the sun. And what determines your skin color is how much melanin pigment you have in your body. So, I have, I guess, an average amount. I don't really know. I get tan when the sun shines on me. I don't really burn as bad as some of my more pale friends. I tend to tan a little bit more. My mom is a burner. She looks like a lobster every time she comes back from the beach. And I have a couple friends that are just burners. They just get pink. And then I have some other friends that just naturally kind of get a little bit tanner. So it depends on what your body needs and what it's used to. But the big point here is knowing that your skin color was given to you for genetic reasons that you cannot change. And genes and the history of passing down genes is such a more ancient behavior, or such a more ancient beauty, honestly, the fact that we can do that, than the kind of new concept of this and that being more beautiful than other things. I mean, I can't speak for everyone because I have a certain skin color and I've always been okay with mine. I've never been made fun of, because of my skin color. And that's a privilege for sure. I hope that everyone can feel comfortable in their own skin color, because ultimately it's all beautiful. It's all what it was supposed to be by genetic design. And therefore it's supposed to be what it is right now on your body. And regardless of skin color, your skin works the same way. It still does all of those fantastic things that I just mentioned. It blocks out pathogens. It helps you regulate water loss. It absorbs nutrients from the sun that you get, too. It does so many of these things. Another thing that women always want to talk about related to their skin is what is growing from their skin. For example, moles that they might have. And I have a good bit of moles, and I have no issue with my moles. I started getting a couple more like 3D ones when I was probably entered into my 20s. And I think I'm going to go get them checked out sometime just to make sure they're okay. And there's many people have moles. I think moles are cool. So many people have freckles. They're different body marks that, like I was saying, denote the roadmap to your life. But another big thing that people freak out about, especially women, is different body hairs. And I've talked about this on different episodes and being comfortable with what kind of body hair you have. But a lot of women freak out about having body hair on their chins, on their breasts, on their butt cheeks, different body hair on their crotch, if it's like too much or too little, or, you know, armpit hair and dealing with all this body hair. But hair is designed so well too, and hair has such a good reason. It's meant to keep you warm. It's meant to protect certain areas and cushion areas. Like I was explaining when I was talking about, in the podcast that talked about vulvas, in the episode that talked about vulvas, that the area where the hair grows on your pubic area is like, it acts as an extra cushion, keeping that area safe. And it retains heat. Think about hair growing in your armpits. So hair has so many fantastic uses. So the way hair grows, is it grows actually through your skin, and it goes down to the dermis. So your epidermis is like the top layer of your skin, and your dermis is the underlayer of your skin. So it grows through the top layer that we know of as skin, and it grows down into the dermis, which is where it can actually get some nourishment and nutrients and things like that. And that's where the end of the follicle when you pull out a hair and you see that kind of white little bit at the end, if you pulled it out all the way, that's kind of where it was actually embedded in the dermis, getting its nutrients, having little capillaries kind of near it, getting a blood supply and having it grow. So when you think about it, each hair is almost its own little growing entity. So the concept of us battling hair as though it's not supposed to be there is silly, because there's all these little individual hairs growing on our body in preordained, most of them genetic spots, for certain reasons. And of course, based on the world we live in today, a lot of people, do different things with their hair. I do. I shave my legs. I shave, my bikini line. I shave my armpits. But the beauty standard supports that. And I understand that I am somewhat of a slave to the beauty standard, but I don't have to fully be a slave to the beauty standard. I can at least find the hair that I decide to keep beautiful. And I cannot be horrified by my own body and the hair that grows on it. I can look at it and say, I'd prefer if it wasn't there because I like the way I look without it more. But I'm not going to go freak out about a certain hair that's growing somewhere. I might freak out about it a little bit in that it looks bizarre. I'm driving and there's an ambulance going by. I might freak out that it looks, I'm like, whoa, that is way curly. How weird. It's weird and long. But I'm not going to freak out and say, ew, gross, disgusting, because it's my body. My body knows what to do. It's taking care of itself. I'm the one with the problem, not my body. And another cool thing to know is that around week 22 of you actually growing as a fetus inside of your mom, you've already got 5 million hair follicles growing on your body. So hair is important enough that it starts early. It develops early as you're an infant and a baby, and it starts because it's such an important thing to humans. Another thing that people kind of worry about is when you have different acne in different places, but I think specifically the one that freaks women out the most is butt acne, which apparently actually has its own name. It's called buttney, which is pretty hilarious and bizarre. But the reason it happens, it's not because your butt is ugly or there's anything majorly wrong with you. It tends to happen more in women that exercise, especially wearing like tight clothes and things like that, because there's less airflow and more sweating. But it's generally, it's dead skin cells and bacteria kind of living on those sort of hair follicles there and causing, you know, little butt acne, which, when you think about it, it's pretty easy to fix if you really wanted to do it. You just have to do some scrubbing and try to wear different clothes. But it's also not a big deal. It's not a health risk. It's not a big problem. It's not something you should freak out about. I have buttony. It depends on the season, honestly. I feel like I have it more in winter than summer. Probably because I have no real airflow to my clothes because I'm so cold. I'm trying to wear warm clothes. But that's just something that your body is telling you what's going on with your skin. And instead of running from what it's telling you and saying, ew, this butt acne is gross, instead solve the problem if you're going to solve the problem. Decide that it's worth, you know, scrubbing more, taking care of yourself in a different way, eating healthier, supporting your skin's ability to fight off bacteria and things like that. That's all going to be a benefit. And the last thing I want to talk about today is cellulite and how you can see cellulite, obviously, through skin, depending on where you have cellulite. First of all, cellulite is nothing to freak out about. Cellulite is really normal, and you can have cellulite even if you're big, even if you're small. Because the thing with cellulite, it doesn't have to do with how much fat is on your body necessarily. What instead it has more to do with is where that fat ends up. So this is something that I didn't know, but cellulite isn't related to, like I said, how much fat you have. Instead, when it shows up is when the fat that you do happen to have, because you're a woman and you have some, it just somehow ends up getting squeezed kind of over on top of the muscle and between the skin. So it's there. Instead of being under the muscle, kind of hidden, you see it more. It's kind of right under the skin. And the reason women get this so much more than men, well, first of all, women get it more because they have more fat. But women get it more than men because, not because, like, only because women get more fat on their body than men, but because the bands that actually connect to the skin, to the muscle in that area of the body, men have kind of a crisscross pattern of bands. So they hold that area together a little bit better, a little bit differently. But women only have vertical running bands, which is really interesting. So there's a lot more kind of give for fat to end up getting pushed through or just going through and being in that area to show cellulite. So when the time comes that you're looking at your, you know, if you have a male partner, you're looking at his legs and you're going, your legs are humongous. They have a lot of muscle, but you're also not the skinniest dude ever. How is it possible that I, you know, if my legs are thin or something, how I have all this more fat than on my legs than you do? You have none, none at all. You just have a huge muscle there. It's because they have some fat, but it's hidden. Plus, men tend to get fat in different places of their body than women do. But I really wanted to share that information so that you wouldn't start freaking out and thinking, I have cellulite. Oh my God, it's horrible. It's the end of the world. No, it's not. Your body is going to have it. It's very normal. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. And there are some things you can do about it, but it's just the kind of things that you would do about taking care of average fat on the rest of your body. And you can't get rid of all of it, nor should you try. That's anorexia. That's bulimia. That's horrible. Don't do it. You need fat. You need fat to be healthy. You need fat to make your brain work properly. But generally, you know, just try to exercise, eat healthy, that kind of thing. And there is apparently some genetic propensity for certain women to have more cellulite visible, you know, than other women. And that's just part of the way it goes. But the big takeaway here is that your body and your skin is just showing what's happening inside your body. It's not anything negative. It's your skin takes care of you, and you should take care of it. So listen to your skin. Listen to your body. This would be a great time to do some naked time and look at your skin and check out what's happening with yourself. If I were to look at myself now, I would know, like, I have some butt acne and my hands are so dry. I need to put some good natural creams on them, like coconut oil or olive oil. And I need to drink a lot of water, and I need to really take care of, you know, wash my face and really take good care of it, which we forget to do all of these, you know, caretaking things with our body, especially our skin sometimes. So it's worth it to take a break and stop and actually look at your skin, listen to what it's saying, and take care of yourself, because you're going to be in this skin forever. Now, of course, it's going to renew itself every month and a half, but it's the same genetic skin, and you need to take care of it because it takes care of you. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. As always, I love talking with you guys. Just a quick reminder to check out the podcast on iTunes, to subscribe on iTunes, and please rate the episodes. Give me some stars. That would be awesome. Check out the podcast on Facebook. It's O Woman Podcast. You'll find it. And the website, as always, is owomanpodcast.com. You can email me, Emma@owomanpodcast, with ideas for a show or questions or criticisms or things you just have to say or things you wonder. And I would love to hear from you. That would be great. So thanks so much for letting me talk to you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Oh, wait, no, I'll talk to you Monday. It's Friday. All right, bye.